All right. I didn't even know what words. Usually I say good morning. I think the only thing I could say is Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to our post-Chagim learning. I don't feel able to teach this morning, but I have prepared Shir. I think we all need a lot of Chizuk and some Hadracha from our Torah Kedosha. So Hashem Sefasai Tif Tachu Fiyah Gita Osecha. We are learning as always as Zechon Le'ilui Nishmas Tzvi Gershon Lav Hashem Ben Yov Echana and Zev Wolf Ben Yishai Lav Hashem. We thank our anonymous sponsor very, very much for this chus of these Devei Torah, both Neshama Sheva Lios the Tova, and with her permission as well, Refuah for Baruch Avigai Bas Rachel Geta. I will say the Tefillah HaDibor, Ribbono Shel Olam, Yei Ratzon Fenecha, Rachem Rechanan, Shetzakeinu Hayim U'Bechol Yom, Lishmor Piyul Lashon U'Lishoni Milashon Hara Rechilus, Ve'ezar Miladaber Afilo Lishyachi V'Kol Shekein Akai Yisrael Chelek Mehem, Kol Shekein Misrael Mamidosef Shel Kosh Baruch Hu, Ve'ezar Miladaber Devei Sheker Chanufa Mecholkas, Ka'as Gai Ve'onas, Tvarim Habanas Panim Leitzonas, V'Chol Dibor Asar, Ve'zakeinu Shel Dabar Kim Dover HaTzarich, Inani Gufi Vinafshi Vikal Masar Vidibura Lashem Shemayim. I also have the name of four soldiers here. One is, the first one is my sons, five soldiers who have been called up, are on duty, active IDF duty. The first one is my son's friend. The next three are relatives of my son-in-law. And the last name is my good friend who's in Jerusalem. She's been with me for many years. They were there for Chag. She wrote a message to me saying, my son was called up to reserve this morning, so Hashem should watch over all our Chayalim. Shmir for Yoshua al Yakim Getzel ben Devorah. His baby daughter is just a few months old. Shem Yishmer Alev, my son-in-law's cousins Talia Meira, Bat Rivka Masha, and Ayala Matla, Bat Rivka Masha. As well as Chaim Shmuel ben Rifka Goda and Aviad Shmuel ben Dalia Figa. We're going to recite one kapitel of Tehillim together, Kuf Chaf Vav. You all know it off by heart. Shir Hama'alos B'shuv Adonai Eshiva Tzion Hayinu Kechomim Azim Alei Yisrael Pinu L'shoneinu Rina Azim Ruvagoyim Higda Adonai La'asos Imeira Higda Adonai la'asos imanu hayinu simechim. Shuva Adonai eshivisenu ka'afikim banegev. Hazorim bedima barini yechzeru. Halochirich uvacho nosei mashach hazara. Oyava v'rina nosei arumasaf. You know, I don't know if I speak for you, or only myself. I now realize that I never understood Tisha B'Av. I thought I understood Tisha B'Av. I thought I understood Churban, of course. A quote from my grandfather's memoirs. We always talk about the Kedoshim, the Shoah. We read and explain the Kinos. I never understood Tisha B'Av till Simchas Torah 5784. In 2 days, 800 Jews have been murdered. At least 100 have been taken captive. Over 2,000 have been injured. And the reservists are being called up. When we say 800, it's too large of a number to understand what that means. So I'm going to screen share one article that I saw this morning of seven Kedoshim out of 800. We'll do the article together. Okay, I'm not going to have time for any comments today. So please don't comment unless something's wrong with the Zoom. Can you see my screen? All right. Okay, we can't understand 800 Jews in 2 days. So this is seven entire family murdered by Hamas. Tamar, Yonatan, Shachar, Arbel, and Omer, Shemin, Kondamam. You could see on the screen an act reminiscent of the Shoah. Hamas terrorists slaughtered entire families, men, women, and children. After infiltrating the Gaza border yeshuvim and towns on Shabbat Simchat Torah in the community of Kibbutz near Oz, the entire family was murdered. Tamar and Yonatan Kedem Simantov, their 6-year-old daughter Shachar and Arbel, and their 4-year-old son Omer. This tragic photo shows 5 victims out of the over, it's now up to 800 Jews murdered. Former U.S. Ambassador David Friedman told Fox News from Jerusalem on Sunday that Hamas has committed the most barbaric acts against the Jewish people since the Holocaust. 2 more Kedoshim, Itai and Hadas Berdichevsky, Hashem Yikom Damem, were both 30 years old, who were murdered by Hamas terrorists. They had 10-month-old twin children. The 10-month-old baby survived by laying next to their dead parents for 12 to 14 hours before they were discovered. This is Itai and Hadas Berdichevsky, Hashem Yikom Damem. And this is Tamar, Yonatan, Shachar, Arbel, and Omer Kedem Simantov. That's 7. And the number's at 800. I never understood Churban. And I never understood Tisha B'Av until Simchas Torah 5784. This year is only based on Torah sources because I am not on the level to be able to comment on the destruction. It's strongly based on Tanakh, Chofetz Chaim, and Rav Soloveitchik. I begin by quoting a piece from the Sefer the Rav, The World of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, Volume 2. This was told over by the Rav in June 1974. The person who told me this story, this is the Rav verbatim. I just need a drink. The person who told me this story heard it from a certain European ruler behind the Iron Curtain. I must say the name of the ruler. It was Nicolae Ceaușescu, the president of Romania. He visited Anwar Sadat, the president of Egypt. Ceaușescu and Sadat had a meeting a few weeks before the tragic Yom Kippur War. They discussed the matter of the next war. Everybody knew about it except for Israel. So Ceaușescu warned Sadat not to start the war because the Jewish army was superior. Sadat admitted militarily it was a lost cause. But there was another reason Sadat told Nicolae Ceaușescu for starting the war. He pulled out a newspaper clipping from the drawer, Sadat, Anwar Sadat, and he gave it to Ceaușescu. Nicolae Ceaușescu, the president of Romania, looked at the newspaper clippings, and he saw the script was unknown to him. He couldn't read this. "What paper is this?" he said to Sadat. "This is a Hebrew paper," Sadat answered. "What is the name of this paper?" "The big red letters on top. It's their daily paper. It's called the Ma'ariv." "Why are you showing this to me? What do you see here?" said Ceaușescu. "Take a look," said Sadat. Ceaușescu said to Sadat, "I can't read it. I don't know the language. It may as well be Chinese." "Take a look at the picture," said Sadat. So he took a look and he saw a picture of a young boy in a uniform. So Ceaușescu said, "What are you showing me?" "Do you know who this young boy was?" said Sadat. "He is dead now. He was a soldier who was killed on the front, on the Suez Canal. The Jewish people mourn for him, one soldier, and his picture's on the front page of the newspaper. Such a people who mourn for every single soldier cannot last long in the war of attrition." Said Sadat, "If every individual is dear to them, if these people grieve and mourn for every individual, I am sure they will lose the war.
No matter how wonderful their weapons and military might, they will ultimately lose our war. Says the Rav, this is exactly what I've been telling you. He goes back to addressing the audience. This was said in 74 at the RCA annual convention. It is true, with all gratitude to President Richard Nixon and Henry Kissinger, the United States Secretary of State, for their separation treaties with Egypt, peace treaties. Nevertheless, these treaties are due to one factor. In other words, why were they able to forge peace treaties, even though they do not give too much protection to Israel? I'm pretty sure if there was a vote in Israel now on the separation treaties, remember going back to 73, 99% of the population in Israel would vote in favor. Why? This would be the result, even though 99% of the population knows the treaties are not worth the paper they're written on. So why would they vote for them? But the fear that young men might die is the main factor in this approach. The eagerness to save one life, to protect one young boy, overrides every other logical consideration. This is exactly what I have been saying. In Judaism, when someone dies, a whole world dies. In Judaism, when someone dies, a whole world collapses. Rabbi Tzin Kanievsky, Allah HaShalom, tzaddikus in our time, used to say, Darchei Hashem kulam tovim, v'lo kulam mevunim. The ways of Hashem are always good, but the ways of Hashem are not understood. The cheshbonus of the Almighty Ribbono Shel Olam are impossible for us to fathom. There is a terrible gezeira from Shemayim upon Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. We do not know why this happened. I don't believe anyone would be audacious enough to say they know why this happened. We can only look at the Torah and see what the Torah tells us. Last night there was a gathering in the White Shul, Tehillim gathering in the White Shul. My husband and my son went. And Rabbi Bender of Yaakov Bender Shlita and Rabbi Ito Feiner Shlita gave some Divrei Hisorus in addition to the Tehillim. My husband said it was packed. My brother went to another Tehillim gathering in Woodmere. He said also, Baruch Hashem, it was full. I saw video in B'nai Brak, they were gathering in the streets to say Tehillim for the soldiers. So there was a Tehillim gathering in the White Shul last night, 10 o'clock, and my husband and my son went. Rabbi Bender spoke and Rabbi Eitan Feiner. Rabbi Eitan Feiner said everyone has to take a Kabbalah upon themselves. But he said it should be small. Because if it's not small, he said it's not doable. If you take something upon yourself to change for the better and it's not doable, then that's Yetzer Hara. So he said it needs to be small. And I was saying to myself, what should I take? I couldn't. It sounds funny to say, I couldn't think of any. It's ridiculous to say, I know. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, I decided something this morning upon myself. And everyone has to take it upon themselves, something. You all know for your own Avodas Hashem. This is part of the Shemir Salashon series. One thing that we do know, and again, I'm only quoting Torah sources. No one knows. No one understands how such a gezeira, why such a gezeira, was decreed upon Am Yisrael. But we know what the Torah tells us. So when we're thinking about betting ourselves as a schus for our brothers and sisters and for Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, we need to keep in mind why the Torah tells us Churban and Golus comes. Last night was very late. I had to clean up from Yontif. Baruch Hashem, do a lot of laundry. Oh, check the news. I know, I don't usually check the news. I understand. There is a time and a place for everything. We have to use our seichel. Not everything is black and white. I went to sleep very late. Hardly slept. Woke up very early. Started the laundry again. In between that, I had to prepare this year. So I did prepare this year, but I didn't have time to make you a handout. So you're just going to have to listen to the sources. We do know why Galus and Churban come. I'm talking about in the Torah. I'm just talking about in the Torah. Actually, this week is Parshas Bereishis. This week is Parshas Bereishis. You know, I could just screen share. I didn't have time to make a handout. This week is Parshas Bereishis. Oh, you should see I'm in Bereishis Perek. Well, actually, I want to be in Perek Emma. Aleph is creation. Beis is more about creation. Adam, Isha, fine. First sin. The serpent was more cunning than all the beasts of the field that Hashem Elokim made. And the Nachash said to the woman, so God said, you can't eat from all the trees of the garden? And the woman said to the snake, oh no, that's not true. We could eat from the trees of the garden. But there's one tree in the middle of the garden. Hashem said, don't eat from it, don't touch it, lest you die. And the Nachash said to the woman, you won't die. And he put, the reason I'm not reading the Lashon HaKodesh is because I just don't have time. Otherwise, I won't go through this year that I prepared. And the Nachash said to the woman, you won't die, says Rashi. He pushed her against the tree. And he said, you see, just like you didn't die from touching it, you won't die from eating it. Ki yodea elokim. Ki biyam achalcha mimenu. V'nitkechu einechem v'isem kelohim yodea tovera. Because God knows, said the serpent to woman, that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open. You will be like God, knowing good from bad. The woman sees the fruit is good for eating and pleasurable for the eyes and pleasing to contemplate. Look what Rashi says. What is the snake saying to the woman? That God knows on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open. You will be like God, knowing good from bad. Zuk Rashi, which you see on the screen, kol uman sone es bnei umanuso. Every craftsman hates competition. A painter doesn't want a paint shop to open at the next door. And a pottery store doesn't want a pottery store to open next door. And a silversmith wants monopoly over his area. Every craftsman hates competition, members of his own craft. God ate from the tree and he created the world. He does not want you to eat from the tree because then you'll be competition for God. The snake, Kaviyachal, the serpent, Kaviyachal, spoke us and her about the Ribbono Shel Olam. If we could say such a thing. Now, Rashi does not exactly say that here, so how do we know that the serpent actually spoke us and her against the Kosh Baruch Hu? Kaviyachal. Because if you've got to say for Shemos, Perek Dalet, what I'm doing is my sources are all in here, all the Pesach and the Rashi's. I'm just going to do it this way so you could see with me. Because when Moshe, fast forward 26 generations, and Moshe said, they won't believe in me, they won't listen to my voice, they will say, God did not appear to you. God appears to Moses at the burning bush, and he says, go free the Jews. And Moshe says, who am I to free the Jews? And one of the things he says is, the people won't believe in me. Shemos Perek Dalet Pasuk Aleph. The people won't listen to my voice. The people will say, God did not appear to you. And Hashem doesn't answer, but Hashem says, what's in your hand? And Moshe says, a mata, a staff. And Hashem says, a staff is in your hand. Interesting. Hashicheu arza, throw it down to the ground. Moshe threw it to the ground. Vayihilin nachash. It becomes a serpent. Vayanas Moshe mipanav. Moshe just spoke about the Bnei Yisrael. Hashem said, go free the Jews. And Moshe said, really? Go free the Jews? Those complainers, those non-believers, those people of little faith? Hey, lo yaminu li, lo yishmu b'koli, ki yamru lo yinrei lach Hashem. Moshe just slandered the Jewish people. And Hashem doesn't answer the slander, but Hashem says, what's in your hand? The staff? Take your staff. Throw it down to the ground. Throws it down to the ground, and it becomes a serpent. Moshe runs away. What does Rashi say? Rama is lo shesiper lashon hara al Yisrael. It became a nachash to teach Moshe that he just spoke lashon hara about Israel. And he grabbed the craft of the serpent. Remember the serpent who says no craftsman likes competition? He just grabbed the craft of the serpent. What's the craft of the serpent? Craft of the serpent, the primordial serpent, lashon hara. So we see that the first sin was really not eating from the fruit. The first sin in the world was the lashon hara between Nachash and Isha. And what was the result of lashon hara? V'ashlichei migan Eden. They were kicked out of Eden. The result of the lashon hara about Kosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachal was galus. Galus. Lashon hara leads to galus. Sinas chinam leads to galus. How else do you know? Because I'm going to take you to the next verse. Next place in Chumash is in Bereishis Perek Lamed Zayin. That's the first thing you know about Yosef and the brothers. The Ma'aseh of Yosef and the brothers leads to 210 years of Egyptian enslavement. Leads to 210 years of lo meis, Alahayanit Starea, Vishochetino Ko Yisrael, Rochets Bedama, Rashi Tishmos 2:23. It was 210 years of backbreaking labor. of whips, of separating men and women, of slaughtering Jewish babies and bathing in their blood. We've already established that the first sin in the world, I'm not saying this. And we see that the result was Churban of Gan Eden and Galus. And Yaakov dwelled in the land of his father's sojourns in the land of Canaan. Ramesh, what's the first thing you know about Yosef and the brothers? Before the dreams. Before the Ksodas passing. Before they can't speak to him in peace. Before the hatred. Before the jealousy. Ela told us Yaakov. Yosef ben Shvas Reishana. These are the offspring of Yaakov. Yosef was 17 years old. He was a shepherd with his brothers for the flocks. He used to hang out with B'nai Bilpah and B'nai Zilpah. Vayave Yosef esti basamra alavim. Yosef thought they were eating Abram and Achai, being Mazazel, B'nai Shvachos, whatever it was. Yosef brought Lashon Hara about the brothers to father. We know well the end of the story. The end of the story is Shubun Mitzrayim. Exile from Eretz Yisrael. Churban, in a sense, of our settlement at that time in Eretz Yisrael. And exile out of our land because of Sinas Chinam. Then we move on the national scale. The Parsha Shlach. The Meraglim come back. The Meraglim are not a fan of Eretz Yisrael. And in Bamidbar chapter 13, Kalev says we can do it. We will be okay. And the men say, Lo nucha la'alo ala'am ki chazaku mimenu. We cannot ascend because, Rashi says, Yerei spoke Lashon Hara b'Hashem, ki chazaku mimenu. Meraglim said the people in the land are stronger than God. Vayotziu dibas ha'aretz asher taru osel b'nei Yisrael. And they said Lashon Hara about the land that they scattered out to the b'nei Yisrael. The land that we scouted through, passed through to scout out, a land that consumes its inhabitants. All the nations are men of measure. We saw giants. They spoke Lashon Hara about Hashem, ki chazaku mimenu. Mimeno, they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. Very clearly in Devarim, Perak Aleph, Pasuk of Zion, the Pasuk tells us when Moshe recalls the sin of the spies, that Terganu ba'olechem v'tomu b'sinas Hashem l'usiyan mi mitzrayim v'seisus ana b'yarem ha'rigash midedu. Devarim, Perak Aleph, Pasuk of Zion. And you slandered in your tents. And you said God hates us, so he took us out of the land of Egypt to give us in the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. The first sin in the world is Lashon Hara, and it led to Churban and exile. Then we go to Yosef and the brothers, and the first thing the Torah tells us is that Yosef spoke Lashon Hara about his brothers to father, and it leads to Churban and exile. I'm just bringing you Torah sources. I don't know anything about the Cheshbonos of the Ribono Shel Olam. The one thing I know is that the Torah is very clear that if we need to be misakin something, we need to be misakin Ahavas Yisrael. Ayin Tova, Lev Shalem, and Lashon Nekia. I'm not telling you this. I'm bringing you different sources that prove over and over and over and over again that hatred and slanderous speech all lead to the same thing. Moshe says, in your 40, and you slandered in your tents, and you said, because God hates us, he took us out from the land of Egypt to give us in the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. And of course, Akash Baruch Hu said, you don't want the land. No problem, you won't have the land. Then we come to Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, moving out of the times of Chumash. National exile, I'm going to quote Maseches Yumates Amad Beis, which probably if you learn with me, you should know off by heart. Mikdash Rishon Mipnei Me'acharav. I was the first temple destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 before the Common Era. Because of three things that there were in it. Idolatry, immorality, sexual immorality, and bloodshed. Well, Mikdash Sheni, but in the second temple period, we think we're so perfect because we got a shear, because we have gemach, because we give tzedak, because we dance with the Torah, because we set up organizations to help our brothers and our sisters. In the time of Bayis Sheni, they also had a lot of gemachs. They also had a lot of Torah learning. We also did a lot of mitzvos, but they hated each other. And when Yin and hate each other, Akash Baruch says, I can't be part of this. And the Gemara says, I will make the shady. Shall you oskin betorah, who will mitzvah sukumilas chasadim ibnei ma'acharav? Why was the second temple destroyed? The Gemara says the people were so from. They were involved in Torah. They did a lot of mitzvos. They had many gemachs. Because this faction spoke about that faction. And this yarmulke spoke about that yarmulke. And the Zionists and the anti-Zionists couldn't get along. And peoples without kippah were not welcome. And people slandered each other in groups. So it's very nice, says the Gemara, that they had Torah mitzvahs and gnius chasadim. Because they didn't respect their fellow Jew. I'm not saying you have to be like your fellow Jew. If someone doesn't keep Shabbos, I don't recommend you don't keep Shabbos. And if someone has tattoos, I don't recommend you go get tattoos. And if someone eats on Yom Kippur, you shouldn't eat on Yom Kippur. But I'll leave the judgment up to the Ribono Shel Olam. Why don't we love each other? Mipnei Shaisa Basidus Chino. We don't have enough enemies on the outside. I'm not saying we should be like people who don't keep Torah. That's between them and my God. I'm no one to judge. That's in our respect, a fellow yet. To speak negative, oh, those Hasidim people say, those modern Orthodox, those hilltop youth. I'm not saying anything. I bring you Torah sources one after another, after another, after another. Consistently in the Torah. Lashon hara, ayin ra, slanderous speech, negative eye, and hatred leads to churban and galus. I never in my life understood Tisha B'Av. And when we hear the shir, or any shir that you might listen to this week, please don't think of another Jew and what they need to do to improve. Think about what I need to do to improve. Rav Yaakov Edelstein, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh L'Vracha, his brother, was of Gersh and Edelstein, made their Shmira protect us in Shabbat. One of Rav Yaakov, he was the Rav of Ramat Hasharon. One of Rav Edelstein's Talmidim, Tzadikim Yageinu Leinu. One of Rav Edelstein's Talmidim told the following story. Once I went to Rav Edelstein's home ranting against a relative of mine. My relative had a tattoo, and they were dressing immodestly. I was very upset. I was ranting to the Rav. Rav Edelstein looked at me and he smiled. And he said, first, fix yourself. Don't try to fix others. Don't rebuke others. Fix yourself. You don't like the tattoo, I understand. It's between him and God. But he's a Jew. He's a Jewish neshama. Fix yourself. But my finder said everyone has to take something by 800 Jews in 2 days. I showed you 7. Said Rav Edelstein, first fix yourself. Don't try to fix others. The shear is not so we should think, what could another Jew do to improve? So I think, what could I do to improve? Don't try to fix others. Don't rebuke others. Fix yourself. Says the Talmud, it took me many years to grow up and internalize this lesson. I remember when I was younger, I saw someone came to Rav Edelstein for marital issues, Shalom Bais. I'm quoting from the Sefer Reaching from Heaven, page 137. Someone came to Rav Edelstein for advice on Shalom Bais marital issues. And Rav Edelstein said the same thing. Don't try to fix your wife. Don't rebuke your wife. Change yourself and your marriage will change. Today, said the Talmud, I understand this concept. I try to act this way in my life. So when the Gemara tells us, Shayu oskim b'torah u'mitzvos u'gumiyos chasad v'pnei ma'acharav, v'pnei shayis v'pusin eschinen, 2,000 years later, we're still in the cycle of Churban. Don't say, what could another group do to prove themselves? What could I do? Once again, Bayu Sheni Sinas Chinam was destroyed in 69 or 70 Common Era by the Romans. Baseless hatred leads to destruction and exile. And the Gemara says, the time of the first temple, there wasn't baseless hatred. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Eilu b'nei adam sh'ochim v'shosin zeh im zeh v'dokrun zeh et zeh b'charvot sh'bilashona. In the time of the first temple, the Gemara says, you know, people used to eat and drink with one another, and they would spear one another with the swords of their tongues. Eilu b'nei adam sh'ochim v'shosin zeh et zeh v'dokrun zeh et zeh b'charvot sh'bilashona. They would sit together at a simcha, or at a kiddush, or a bais knesses. They would eat and drink together. And then one would get up, and the others would spear them with the swords of their tongues. We all have to say to ourselves, how is my Ahava Susra? Don't go leave Shir B'Michal Shabbos. It's not what we mean. Don't eat not kosher. Don't get a tattoo. But love your fellow Yidden. Look kindly upon them, daven for them, and speak well about them. How is my speech? How is my Ayin Tova? No one should look at another yid. We each must look at our own selves. We started with the first sin in the history of creation, which is this week's parsha. The first sin in the world was not eating from the Eitz Hadas. We have proven that the first sin in the world is speaking Lashon Hara. And the sin of Lashon Hara, speaking and hearing and replying to the Lashon Hara, being Makaba Lashon Hara, Isha was Makaba. She accepted it, she spoke to it, spoke back. She answered, she affirmed, led to Churban, destruction of their existence in Eden, and it led to exile. The first Jewish familial exile and destruction, skipping ahead to Bereishis chapter 37, Yosef and the brothers. The first thing we know about Yosef is that Vayava Yosef is the Basar Ma'al Avihim. Now we went to the Meraglim, the first national exile. We finally get out of Egypt after the 210 years we're in the desert. And the Meraglim do on a national scale what Yosef did. And everyone knows how I feel about Yosef at Tzadik. I'm touching upon one Nakuda. What Yosef did on an individual scale. The Meraglim slandered Eretz Yisrael, and of course Baruch Hu Kaviyachos, so God said no problem. You don't want the land, so you won't have land. Stay in the desert for 40 years till I die. You won't have Eretz Yisrael if you can't have an Ayin Tov and a Lashon Tova. And then we went to modern history out of biblical times. The first temple was destroyed as per Yuma Tesh Amad Beis because people speared one another with the swords of their tongues. And the second temple was destroyed because of Sinas Chin and baseless hatred. The Chafetz Chaim, the Heilige Chafetz Chaim, Zchuso Yagen Aleinu, in his Sefer, Chafetz Chaim, in the introduction, the Chafetz Chaim says, Afu Besof Yimei Bayis Sheni, this is the Hakdama, the introduction of the Chafetz Chaim to Sefer Chafetz Chaim. The Besof Yimei Bayis Sheni, at the end of the Second Temple period, I'm quoting directly from the Sefer. At the end of the Second Temple period, the sin of baseless hatred and slanderous speech was strong amongst us. Gavra, they translate Gavra, prevailed amongst us. Ba'avonoseinu harabim, with our many sins. U'ba'avur zeh, because of this hatred and slanderous speech, nechrav habayis v'galinu mi'artzeinu. The temple was destroyed and we were exiled from our land, like the Gemara teaches us both in Yuma and the Yerushalmi. And the Chafetz Chaim says, yes, the Gemara uses the term Sinas Chinim. Listen to this. Hagam she'gemara napta Sinas Chinim. It's true that the Gemara coins the term Sinas Chinim. Hakavana hu alashon har gamkin. You could go Sefer Chafetz Chaim, the classic Sefer Chafetz Chaim, the Hakdama. Hakavana hu alashon har gamkin. What the sages mean is when they say that the people had baseless hatred, they mean they were speaking lashon har. Sheyotze mitzad hasina, because slanderous speech about another Jew comes from hatred of another Jew. Di'ilav hachilo hayune and nashim kol kach. Without this sin, we would not have been punished so severely. There are so many different kinds of Jews, but we're all children of Hashem. Hashem says, only in the Torah, I'm saying from Torah and Gemara, you can't get along with each other. You can't be in my land. That's what Hashem says. I'm talking about in the Chumash and in the Gemara. Today, I don't know anything. I don't understand anything. But the Torah tells us all the answers. Turn the Torah over and over because everything is in it. Without these terrible sins, you would not have been so strongly punished, my son-in-law. And Yantav told me a beautiful Dvar Torah about the Lulav and the Esrog. He told me which sefer he's quoted from, I don't remember. Why do we hold the Esrog in the left hand and the Lulav and the Lulav bundle in the right hand? Right is strength. Yemincha Hashem nedar b'koach. The right hand in Yehadus represents strength. So the Esrog represents the Yid who has Torah Meisim Tovim. It has smell, fragrance, and taste. And the Medrash tells us that this represents the Jew who has Midos Tovos and Meisim Tovim, good deeds and Torah. The Talmud Chacham. The best kind of Torah Jew you could find, he's the Esrog. The Lulav has taste but no smell. The Hadassim have smell but no taste. And the Aravos has no smell and no taste. Those are all deficient Jews. They're all deficient. You put three deficient Jews together and you say, oh, we're going to put these in the right hand. Why are you putting that in the right hand? One is Maisim Tovim and no Torah. One is Torah, no Maisim Tovim, and one is nothing. The Aravos of nothing. What kind of debt? Put them in the left hand. Put the Ezra, who's the perfect Talmud Chacham, in the right hand. My son was quoting a sefer. I just don't remember which one. Because the power of Achdus between Jews, the Lulav bundle, represents three kinds of Jews together. And even though they're all deficient, they're together. And that cannot compare. Even to someone who's perfect individually. To be a Yid means to be with other Yidden. To bind yourself with them, to love them and speak kindly. The Aravos represent our lips. How do we speak about our fellow Yid? The Hadassim represent our eyes. How do we look on our fellow Yid? The Lulav is the spine. Do we stand up for each other? Do we have a spine? Are we proud of our fellow Jews? You don't have to be like them. But you have to love them. The Chofetz Chaim says clearly, because of the sin of Lashon Hara, and the term Sinas Chinim, he says, is just a metaphor for Lashon Hara. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and without baseless hatred and slander of speech, we would not have been so punished. Ume Azva Ar Ata, and from them until now. So I'd say this is Radon in the late 1800s. From them until now. B'chol Yom, Anu Mitzapim. Mispalalim v'nei Kosh Baruch Hu she'ikari v'usanu. That's a Chofetz Chaim in the 1800s in Radin. For 1800 years, says a Chofetz Chaim, every single day we are waiting, longing, we are davening to Kosh Baruch Hu to bring us close to him. Listen to his Lashon. Umei azva ad ata b'chol yom anu mitzapim umispalalim v'nei Kosh Baruch Hu she'ikari v'usanu. Kasher Hivtachnu Bisorasa Kadosha. He promised in his Torah Bishuv Hashem and Shivatzina Yunikachamim. And every day we say, Hashem, where's your promise of Yushalayim Yircha Barachim Tashuv? Every day we look at the Torah and the Nevi'im and we say, Hashem, you promised. You promised on Yeshua Zakenus Kenus Perchovas Yushalayim Yila Divilados Mesachakim Perchovasah. You promised that mothers and fathers and children could sit in the streets of Eretz Yisrael in Shalva, in Shalom, in Simcha. Where's the promise? Every day Anu Mitzapim and Mispalim of Nekosh Baruch Hu Sheikari Vosanu. And our prayers are not accepted before him. Like the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, from the day the temple was destroyed, from the time the temple was destroyed, there was an iron partition from the time Sinas Chinam, for the last and final time, Isha Nachash out of Eden, Yosef brothers Egypt, Meraglim Bnei Yisrael Galus, stay in the desert. By his rishon charvot shabilashonim. By his sheni, sinas chinim and nashin har. And every day we wait, and every day we daven. We say, bring us close to you. You promised. Did you promise? The ein miskabelis tvilasein lefanav. 800. And our prayers are not accepted. Like the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, from the day the temple is destroyed, there's an iron barrier between us and God. But the Chofetz Chaim says, "Ube emes lo olav chas v'sham." We cannot blame God. Our complaints, "Ube emes lo olav chas v'sham hu tuvin oseinu." Our complaints are not against God. Ki im al atzmeinu. You never heard people slander other kinds of Jews? I have. I'm sure I have been guilty as well. Because they're not like us. Because we don't understand them. Because they speak with a different pronunciation of Ivrit. Some speak Yeshivish, some speak Hasidish. Some speak Hiltabu, some speak Tati Lumi. The truth is, as a Chofetz Chaim, we can't complain about God. It's our own fault. The deficiency is not with God. The reason for this horrific galus is from our side. Sheba avonoseinu harabim. Ein anu manichim lo sheishrash v'shchinasu besochinu. With our great sins, we do not permit God to dwell his presence amongst us. We prevent him. The pasuk says in Devarim, we just read in Vezosa Bracha. We just read it. Vayihi bishuvan melech bihisasef. When is a Kodesh Baruch Hu king over Klal Yisrael? Behis asef yachad, says Rashi. When we have achdus, when we're one, Kodesh Baruch Hu is our king. A relative came to Rav Yaakov Edelstein. He said, "My relative has tattoos. My relative's not religious. My relative does this and that." Yaakov Edelstein smiled and said, "Stop fixing your relative. Fix yourself." Rav Soloveitchik says, second sefer of the Rav that I'm quoting from, I know this year is usually 9:15 to 10. I'm needing an hour for this year. If you need to leave, you could catch a rest, Bezrat Hashem, or Wayu Torah. I'm quoting from the sefer of the Rav, thinking of that on the parsha, sefer Bamidbar. You know, it's very interesting. We always say Avram Avinu didn't ask questions. Avram Avinu did ask questions. But the truth is, there's one time that he asked a question. Always when I'm speaking about Avram asking questions that I give Shir Skol in residence, I always think, please don't let that one person raise your hand and say, Avram did ask a question. Well, may I say he did. And it's by the Brisbane Hapsarim. In Perek Tesuav of Bereshis. Can you see I'm in Perek Tesuav of Bereshis? Someone that I could see. Yes, thank you. After these things, the word of God came to Avram. This is the covenant between the pieces, chapter 50 in Parshas Lech Lecha. "Do not be afraid, Avram. I am a shield for you. Your reward is very great." "My reward is very great?" My wife and I have been married for decades. What kind of reward? I don't have children. Vayomer Avram, Hashem Eloki Mati Teini, Vanochi Holech Arivi. Really, God? What are you going to give me? I'm going barren. Ben Meshach Besi, who Damesek Eliezer. Eliezer, the Damascan, should inherit my home. Vayomer Avram, Hein Lilo Nasata Zara, Vihine Ben Besi Yorish Osi. So whenever I'm teaching, if I'm speaking about Avram, if I'm away or whatever, I always think, please don't let anyone bring this up if I don't have time in the shir to get into it. But the truth is, Avram did ask a question. Hashem Elokim, what will you give me? And I am going barren. I discovered you at the age of 3, 40. I brought knowledge with me to the whole world. I'm the first Jew who made Aliyah. I brought back monotheism 20 generations after Adam Arishon. I came to Eretz Yisrael. I planted an Eishel, not yet a little bit of a chronological order. I started a Hechnasas Orchim campaign, the Machs. But I'm going childless. What will you give me? And I'm going childless. And the Damascus of my house, the steward of my house, the Mesek Eliezer, is going to inherit me. And Kosh Baruch Hu says, isn't an answer. Vayomer la'avram, yadoa teida ki ger yezarecha beretz lo'lahem. These psukim should be familiar from the Haggadah Shal Pesach. And God answered Abram and he said, no, you shall surely know. Your children will be strangers in a strange land. And they will be enslaved and they will be oppressed for 400 years. And also the nation. And also the nation that enslaves them I shall judge and after they will leave with great wealth. What kind of answer is this? I'm telling you, says Avram, I'm going childless. And you tell me, no, you shall surely know. Your children will be strangers in a strange land. They will be oppressed. They will be tortured for 400 years. And the nation who judges them, I will judge. The oppresses them, I will judge. And your children will eventually come back here. Rav Soloveitchik has a tremendous pshat. He's paraphrasing a conversation between God and Avram. This is the Rav, different Sefer. The Rav thinking a lot on the Parsha, Bamidbar, 1969. I don't have time for the whole piece, 1969. So you ask me, in other words, it's God talking to Avram. So you ask me, why you will be inseparable from the land of Eretz Yisrael? You ask me, Bama Eda Ki Arishana, with what will I know that I will inherit? The answer is because your acquisition of Eretz Yisrael will follow a different course than your relationship to Ur Kasdim. Ask yourself if you have the same relationship with Eretz Yisrael that you have with Woodmere or wherever you're zooming from. Ask yourself. B'ma Ida Kirishana, the answer is, it's as if God's speaking to Avram, because your acquisition of Eretz Yisrael will follow a different course than your relationship to Ur Kasdim. Avram asked B'ma Ida. His question was not, I don't believe in you, God. His question was, how deep will my involvement with the land be? B'ma eda ki irishana, how do I know I will inherit the land? I can't be involved with the land, Avram says. I'm not dedicated to Ur Kasdim, in spite of the fact that Ur Kasdim was his native land, his ancestral home, his fatherland. He had no problem leaving Ur Kasdim. So Avram said, if I'm exiled from Canaan, just like I was exiled from Ur Kasdim, I know from human nature, I will forget the land, 10 years, 20 years. How long do you think I'm going to remember a land that I'm going to be exiled from? That's what he argued, Kaviyachol de Ribono Shel Olam. The question of Avram was not, I don't believe you, God. The question was, how can you tell me I will always remember the land? How can you tell me I'll be inseparable from the land? So the Ribono Shel Olam said to me, Yadoa Teda, know you shall surely know. You love the land. You know in Hebrew, says the Rav, not only in Hebrew, many languages, if you want to emphasize something. If I want to say, do you love your son? I'll ask you. And you want to tell me, I love him very much. I do love him. What does it mean, I do love him? In English, it's emphasis. In Hebrew, instead of do, you introduce the infinitive. Yadoa teda. God is strengthening. You should know. You shall surely know. How do you know? You have doubts, Avram, about your involvement in the land? Bama eda. You left Ur Kasdim, no problem. Then you went to Haran. You left Haran, no problem. Now I'm telling you, you're going to inherit the land. And you're asking me, how do I know I will inherit the land? Bama eda. Whereby will I be so deeply involved with the land? Yadoa teda, I can assure you, Avram, no one in the world can take the land away from you. Yadoa teda. Why will you be deeply involved in the land? You'll be dedicated to the land. You'll be committed. You know why? Because you won't get it immediately. I won't give it to you right away. I wouldn't tell the Kaini, the Knizi, the Kadmoni just to move away. Oh no, you're Doateda. You have to wait a long, long time. 400 years. And before, Yadote Datigeri Azarecha. The Rav here is applying these psukim, as you will see, not only to the Egyptian exile, but to every exile, every country, every land in our long and bitter history. Yadote Datigeri Azarecha. No, you shall surely know your children will be strangers, Be'aretz Lelahem. But Vadu, they will be enslaved. The Inu Yosem, they will be oppressed. My grandfather, Yitzchak ben Moshe. If you learn with me, you've heard me say it many times. He quotes in his memoirs, in 7 camps in 3 years, Rav Peretz Feder and I lay on the barracks. We spoke continually about the murders that they were sent by God and their end is near. We said, whoever survives this hell will see Mashiach. Whoever survives this hell will live to see a Jewish state. Va'avadim, they'll be enslaved. Ve'inu eisim, they'll be impressed. Every day, says the Chometz Chaim. We daven to God, bring us back to you. Fix yourself, said Rabbi Yaakov Edelstein. Stop worrying about other people. Oh no, you have to wait a long, long time. How long already can he delay? 800. I showed you 7. Did you ever understand Tisha B'Av? I ask you if you have understood Tisha B'Av. Michal Hertz never understood Tisha B'Av. You won't wait as a free people until the grant is finalized. Your children will be strangers. They'll be slaves. They'll be ill-treated, tortured. Aramel Shana. And throughout the dark night of Golos, throughout the long period of exile, your children will have one dream, one vision, one aspiration, and one hope. What will be the hope? To get back to the land. L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim. And after you come to Eretz Yisrael, Avram, I assure you, you ask me, how do I know? You will be deeply in love with the land. You and your children will have an eternal love with the land, not a friendship affair. You know very well, concludes the Rav, that after you lose so many young boys defending the land, you don't leave. A grave ties a person to a land more than anything else. Yadoa, you want to know how much you'll be involved at the land? Teda, you know very well you'll be involved. From this land, you can never be separated. You will always come back. There's no power in the world which can take you away. I want to end with a little bit of a message of hope. So I'm the Tikva Teinu. I take my much not up on you. We also have she bared saying a bared sea on your wish alive. Lo avda tikvatenu. This horrific massacre, an attack. I wanted to quote a piece from the Rav on Shabbat, but then I would keep here for an hour and a half, and I have another shiur after this. I could probably talk for an hour and a half now, but I have to go to my next shiur. I wanted to quote a piece on the Rav where he talks about the suddenness of Churban, Shabbat. Shabbat doesn't only mean cessation, it means a sudden cessation. Don't have time. It's from the Sefer, the Lord is righteous. I prepared it, but no time. But all you have to know for this end of Shir is that the Churban came suddenly. The first kinnah of Tisha B'Av describes the suddenness of the Churban. No one expected it. Yirmiyahu, the prophet of Churban, didn't expect it. Shabbat doesn't only mean cessation, it means immediate, sudden cessation. So I was thinking to myself, that if such horrific churban could come so suddenly, like the pasuk says in Eicha, to end the parakei shavat misos libenu. And Simchas Torah, Torah Hashem Tamima Meshivas Nafesh, Eidus Hashem Ne'eman Malchivas Pasi. The pasuk says at the end of Eicha, Shavat Misos Libenu Nehapach La'Evel Mecholenu. Shavat, the joy in our hearts has ceased suddenly. Nehapach La'Evel Mecholenu, our dancing has turned to mourning. At Simchas Torah 5784. Shavat misos libenu nehapach la'evel mecholenu. But I was thinking that just like the distraction came Shavat with such a suddenness, totally unexpected, that's where the geula will come. And I now quote a third piece from the Rav. From the Rav, volume 2. Related by the Rav in a Tshuva Drasha on October 1970. I heard from my father, Rav Moshe Salvechik. The Rav Chaim of Volozhiner was once asked, how will the Messiah come? He responded, let me tell you the following parable, and you will understand how the Messiah will come. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, 1800s, father of what we call the modern-day yeshiva system. And I go on, and God does chus yagan aleinu. On an ordinary weekday, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, I come in from the yeshiva after my morning prayers. My wife asks me, Chaim, are you ready to eat your breakfast? I say, Ralka, I have not finished preparing my lecture for the day. I cannot eat until I review the text. I have to teach in yeshiva. All right, Chaim, she says, let it be. While you are preparing your lecture, I will go to the market to buy a few things. It's going back to Volozhiner. The end of the 1800s. Stories told there by Rav Moshe Salvechik, which means it probably came from his father Rav Chaim Brisker and his father the Beis Halevi. And the Rav tells it over. I will go to the market to buy a few things. In the meantime, I will leave the soup cooking on the stove. Please be careful, Chaim, that it should not burn. I know you. I'm aware you forget everything once you get involved in your learning. My wife left for the market. I opened my volume and I started to study the appropriate text. Suddenly, I look out the window. I see the sun is shining with much greater brightness than ever before. What intensity! This is Rav Chaim Volozhiner, so to speak, speaking. Then I hear the birds in the garden chirping a new turn, a new tune, a stirring, enchanted melody. I hear a commotion in the street. I look out, I see Ellie the shoemaker running and dancing. Ellie, I call out the window. Why is the sun so bright? Why the enchanting song of the birds? What happened to the trees? They're blooming with new leaves. What's happening? Ellie looks up. Rebbe, do you know the Messiah is here? Immediately, I run to the closet to get my Shabbos clothing, to wait, to greet the King Messiah. I take out my suit. The jacket is missing a button. Last Saturday night, it fell off. I told my wife to mend it. She said, what's the rush, Chaim? You don't need it till next Shabbos. Now I have to go forth to greet the Messiah with my jacket missing a button. Well, I'm debating with myself whether to wear this defective jacket or whether I can go greet the Messiah with my weekday jacket. My wife comes running home. She breathlessly cries out, Gewalt, Chaim, the soup burned. You forgot to turn off the flame. At that moment, I say, you foolish woman. We're going to greet the Messiah. And you're worried about the soup? Go dress in your Shabbos finest clothing and come with me to greet the king. This story, which I heard from my father of Moshe, which he probably heard from his father of Chaim Brisker, from his father, the Beis Halevi, summarizes the whole saga of the redemption of the Jewish people. A Jew waits endlessly for the redemption, and then it comes unexpectedly. At that moment, it is so unexpected, he discovers that a button is missing from the suit he has to wear to go greet the king. The shiur should be Eschus Aliyah Neshama, as always, our gracious sponsor, who sponsors the Zecher Neshmas Tzvi Gershon Ben Yoav Lechana and Zev Wolf Ben Yishai Aleh Masham, my son's friend, who is called up to the reserves on Shabbos, Yoshua Al Yakum Getzel Ben Dvora for Shmira, my son-in-law's cousins, Talia Meiraba Rivka Masha, Ayala Matlabas Riva Masha, Talia Meiraba Riva Masha, Ayala Matlaba Riva Masha, and Aviad Shmuel Ben Dalia Fega for Shmira, and for a close friend of mine, San, who was called up to the reserves this morning, Chaim Shmuel ben Rivka Goda. U'macha Hashem dima me'al kol panim v'cherpas amo yasir me'al kol ha'aretz ki Hashem diber. Thank you everyone for taking the time to come join Shir. Arachamanu yakim lanu esukas David hanofelas.